He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Curry, way downtown, bang, bang!
You don't like NBA basketball!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the GM's Office. Liam Ellison here alongside Jared Gunn. Jared, how are you on this fine evening?
I am very well, Liam, and we've got a fair bit of news to get underway today.
Definitely. Well, let's start off with the New Orleans Pelicans. Lonzo Ball, he's been moved to the bench. Now, it looks like his fantasy value is trending down.
Yeah, it is, Liam, and I think it starts with that really dismal field goal percentage, Liam. It's been 35% on the month, and I know he's been on the bench only recently, and I think it's been so he can restructure that jump shot again, but Liam is just not holding a lot of value in fantasy because that field goal is low, he doesn't score the ball too much. I know that he's good with the assists, but other than that, it's been really, really poor from him.
Yeah, the field goal percentage is a real issue, around 37%, I believe, which... just killing teams who are trying to win in that stat. Look, I mean, he does put up a lot of threes a game and as a result actually makes a fair few. He makes over 2 threes a game. He still gives you close to 1.5 steals. And yes, you know, those 6 assists, he has some sort of unique combinations of stats that make him a good fantasy player. But while that field goal percentage is down there around 37, it makes him quite difficult to own. I mean, look, if you're punting that stat, yes, it's okay, but... unlike a lot of other point guards, doesn't score. So, look, I wouldn't be dropping him yet, but you hope that a turnaround comes.
Yeah, you're right, Liam. And I know that you've mentioned it before, that you'd have to be punting some pretty peculiar stats, Liam, if you were choosing to have Lonzo on your roster, because it doesn't always mix and match with what you actually need. So, yeah, he's a funny one. But at the moment, Liam, it's a case where in points he's not very ownable. Maybe in Yahoo if he's getting high assist numbers and... he's scoring maybe 10 to 15 points per game, but categories and ESPN points is pretty yuck at the moment.
Yeah, it's not ideal at all. Look, JJ Redick is out Tuesday with left groin soreness, sorry. So that, you know, could potentially see Lonzo move back into the starting lineup temporarily. But look, we are going to need to see some better shooting from Lonzo long term to see his fantasy production trend upwards. We've had a injury return recently. Marvin Bagley, now finally back for the Sacramento Kings, being, you know, fairly solid in only 21 minutes a night so far in 3 games back. You expect that number to trend up towards the, you know, 28 to 30 minutes a night as he, you know, conditions himself back into NBA standard. But Rashawn Holmes, what do you make of his value at the moment?
It's a funny one as well, and with Rashawn Holmes, because with Bagley coming back in, he's had a pretty significant dip in minutes. It's almost been 10 minutes less per night compared to what he was doing earlier in December. So if that's the case, Liam, I think we're going to see his value drop quite a bit.
And look, he was fantastic in Bagley's absence. I mean, what a steal off the waiver wire if you did pick him up. But there was always that issue about when Bagley did come back. Now, look, I thought there was a chance that perhaps Bagley could start at the 4 and they'd keep Holmes there at the 5 because he has played just so well. But it looks like that they are going to put Bagley into Holmes' role as the starting center. So a lot different to last year. Obviously, Luke Walton has got different ideas about how to use Marvin Bagley, but Rashawn Holmes, 74% owned. Do you trade, do you hold, or do you even drop him?
I'd be dropping him, Liam. I don't know how much value that he's actually going to hold in a trade right now. Maybe you could find an owner that might be a little bit oblivious to the fact about what's actually happening with Sacramento's rotation over the next couple of weeks, but I think any wise fantasy players would know that his value is going to drop pretty significantly soon.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is a drop as well. I mean, look, ideally you trade a guy who's played as well as he has, but I think the value is simply not there. Currently 74% owned on Yahoo. I think that's too high and will probably drop 20 or 30% in the coming week. So do not hesitate to drop Holmes if you need. The other guy of interest there in Sactown is Nemanja Bjelica. Now, it looks like he actually might hold some value despite Bagley coming back.
Yeah, he might, Liam, and it's just because he's a staple of that starting lineup. They're really adamant about playing him at the 4 position, and we know Bjelica's ability to hit the 3-ball, so if he's able to hit the 3-ball and score a few points as well, Liam, and maybe a stack of rebounds as well, I think we might see a guy that's holding a bit of value in categories.
Yeah, I like him as well. I think he is a hold if you currently own him. Positive signs that they're looking to play him heavy minutes alongside Bagley at the 4 position. So let's go over to the Eastern Conference now. Blake Griffin is having his troubles, and it looks like that knee is seriously restricting him at the moment.
Yeah, it's the Blake Griffin of the LA Clippers, Liam, only playing 60 games per season, and it looks like it's going to be less than that this year if this keeps up and going. And we were really high on Blake this year going into our drafts.
We were. I mean, look, we do share a couple of teams, you and me, in, you know, dynasty leagues and the like. And yes, we did draft Blake Griffin reasonably early, you know, third round sort of pick. At the moment, shooting 10% less from the field, only 16 points a night, 4.5 rebounds, only around 3.5 assists. Seriously low numbers. Looks on paper like a buy low. But look, clearly, this is a serious issue with his injuries. Do you think he could be, you know, a shutdown candidate?
I think there's a strong case for it. I know that, you know, Detroit actually really need him to be up and going if they want to push for a playoff spot. So I think that's a positive when it comes to owning Blake. But at the same time, he's not going to be able to perform at the level that he did last year. And that's my big question with Blake, is whether he should be someone that we look to trade right now, Liam.
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. Because, again, how do you trade these guys who are struggling so mightily? And what could you actually expect to get back? Because, look, I would think anything less than probably a guy who can be ranked in the outside the top 100, I wouldn't bother, because the upside's not there. But is there anyone that has sort of top 100 potential that you think you could actually trade Griffin for?
Yeah, I think there's a few cases, Liam. You could be looking to trade guys that are in similar positions. So we've mentioned Draymond Green as a guy that struggled this season, and he's in a similar boat to Blake. He's been injured. His role hasn't been too consistent either without having the All-Stars and that Warriors lineup. That's a guy that I could say that you could trade for him. And yeah, it might be something that doesn't fit necessarily with the other owner or whatever it is, Liam, but that's someone that I think could fit the trade.
Yeah, look, I think it's worth asking the question nonetheless. I mean, Miles Turner only ranked around 85th at the moment. He's trending upwards since returning from injury. You know, probably going to be hard to part ways with him, but potentially an 85th ranked player like Turner is a guy you could target. Even Lauri Markkanen, who at the moment is ranked outside the top 100. We've spoken at length about his struggle shooting from the field. He is a buy low. These are the guys you could target, but look, ultimately, I think it will be a struggle to part ways with Griffin, just given his both injury reputation and now it's, you know, manifesting itself this season. So, could be a tough one, I think. Let's go over to Enes Kanter, Jared. Now, probably another player that we are both quite high on the GM's office. Or certainly last year we were. We love Kanter, but hasn't been fantastic so far.
Yeah, our Turkish delight, Liam, Enes Kanter. We haven't been able to speak about him much, and you know, you look at his stats on the year, 8.6 rebounds and 1 assist per game. That's probably why he hasn't done a hell of a lot for the Celtics. And it's probably because he's not a great defensive player, Liam. They like to play him in spurts for his, you know, offensive prowess as a player. And look, he came off the other day and had 20 points and 9 rebounds. So he had a good night. But I would not be buying that performance as an indicator on how he's going to perform later this year.
Yeah, I'm not too convinced with Kanter either. Look, it is, you know, an encouraging sign. That 20 point and 9 rebound performance was probably his best of the season. But look, he's only playing 16 minutes, as you said. Sharing the load there in Boston with Daniel Tice and Robert Williams doesn't look like they're going to entrust him with, you know, 25 minutes a night, which does limit his value. But hey, on the brighter side, have you been on his ESPN stats page? There's a little video there of him temporarily holding the WWE title in New York.
Mate, he's an absolute superstar, and it's Turkish delight. I think that would be a good wrestling name for him. So let's get him into the WWE ring once he retires from the NBA.
I reckon that could be the perfect career after basketball. Look, he's owning 40% of leagues at the moment. Something else of interest regarding his fantasy value, I think, is his potentially declining dynasty value. Now, he's a relatively young player, was once a number 3 draft pick, and has probably been a pretty decent dynasty hold for a few years now. But just sort of judging by where his career is going, do you think he's, you know, trending towards a drop there?
Maybe. It's a funny one, Liam. I don't know how long he's locked into the Boston Celtics for, but I think if Enes is got a role on a team where he can have 25 minutes a night, I think that's where he does become an ownable guy. So yeah, you could drop him, but I'd still be pretty wary that he can bounce back quite quickly.
Yeah, I've got my concerns with Enes. I mean, really good to start the season with New York last year, and then again it happened. He just started getting benched, wasn't getting time, then traded to Portland. his fantasy value dropped there. You know, doesn't stick in Portland, ends up in Boston rather. Look, he's played for, I believe, three teams in the last year. So, and hasn't really stuck in either of them. I'm worried personally. I wouldn't hesitate to drop if there was someone on the waivers that you thought was of value. But yes, look, if he ever gets back to playing 25 minutes a night, definitely a guy who can put up seriously nice stats. So, one to keep an eye on. Luka Doncic, that was a seriously dodgy ankle sprain that I'm sure a lot of people have seen. It looked bad, didn't it?
Yeah, it did look bad. It was pretty hard for the Dallas fans to be watching. They had their hearts in their mouths, Liam, when that happened to them at the game. I forgot who they were playing. But look, Liam, I think it looks like only 2 weeks for Doncic, which is lucky. But in terms of fantasy, Liam, wouldn't be dropping Doncic, obviously, or doing anything. Just keep him. Obviously, that's just an obvious thing that you would be doing. But who's going to benefit the most?
Well, one that I think is of interest is Kristaps Porzingis. Now, we know he hasn't quite performed to our expectations this year, taking a bit of a step back while, you know, Luka has really come to the foray. But I think Kristaps could have a little boost over the next couple of weeks. Now, you know, perfect time for him to work his way back into, you know, becoming a real star in the NBA. I believe he's putting up around 16-9. Am I correct in saying that? So perhaps we see a bit of an uptick nonetheless. I mean, possibly he's a buy low. I think he is playing below his value. But if you're holding Kristaps Porzingis, I'd be pretty excited about his prospects.
Yeah, definitely, Liam. And I would be trying to buy low if you can right now. I think this is a good chance for him to increase that field goal percentage. It's been pretty low to start the year. It's just been under 40%. So, obviously, you want that to be a lot higher for Kristaps. It'll, you know, make him score a little bit more. And you look at it in ESPN points, you really do need that field goal percentage to be up right now. And I think this is a good chance for him to increase that field goal and also increase his production.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of other guys there we should also mention in Dallas. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been a lot better over the last few weeks and should benefit from Doncic's absence. Jalen Brunson as well, who probably will step in as the starting point guard. And the other one is Steph Curry, of course, a really good source of three-pointers. So there's three guys you can look at on the waiver wire. Let's just round out before we get into our waiver wire segment with Davis Bertans. Now, how unbelievable has he been? He's been ranked 12th in fantasy over the last fortnight.
Yeah, he's been unreal, Liam. I picked him up on ESPN points, and it's translated so well. And I alerted you to this before, Liam, before we started the show, that there was a 6-game patch to start the month where he hadn't had a game below 4 threes, which is unreal.
That is, you know, that is quite ridiculous, really. I mean, look, I think we spoke on this pod a couple of weeks ago about Towns and how he was shooting the ball at around 45% on 9 attempts. And, you know, one of only 2 players in NBA history to do that alongside Stephen Curry. Well, now Davis Bertans, I believe, entered that range. He was hitting, if I'm not mistaken, 4 threes on, again, 45% shooting. So, and on 9 attempts as well. He's been unbelievable. Obviously, Thomas Bryant is set to come back there in Washington, and that will limit his, you know, minutes per night a little bit. What do we do with Bertans? Do we sell him high?
Yeah, I think you could possibly sell him high, Liam, but I'd actually hold Bertans right now. I think with the way the Washington Wizards are playing this season, they're going pretty ballistic when it comes to scoring the ball. One of the best defensive teams in the league right now. I think there's
best defensive teams. Oh, offensive teams, sorry.
Offensive teams. Oh, did I say defensive? Sorry, my bad. Offensive, Liam. One of the best offensive teams in the league. There's a chance that they say, look, Bertans is shooting the lights out at the moment. Let's just keep him in the lineup and let's hope he keeps on doing the same thing. So I wouldn't be dropping him or necessarily even selling him until we see, you know, a major decline.
Oh, he's definitely not a drop. He's far from it. I mean, my only thing is, do you try and get some serious value from him? Sell him high, try and see if you can get someone to bite on him and really offer some decent value. But it will be hard considering he's been a little bit of a, you know, enigma to an extent. I mean, really played well over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Owners might not be prepared to part way with a fourth-round pick or something of the like for a player like that. But Bertans, obviously a player who's played his way into some serious value. And it wasn't Mo Wagner, like I predicted, that would be the guy to come in Thomas Bryant's absence. It is Bertans. So definitely keep an eye on his going. He's 75% owned at the moment on Yahoo. So look, if I'm in one of those 25% of leagues that he's not owned in, I'm going and picking him up.
Yeah, he's still out there, and the fact that he's still out there is actually quite baffling. So, yeah, get on to him.
Yeah. Let's go into some waiver wire pickups at the moment. A couple of guys we've flagged as good pickups. Look, Brandon Clarke is 64% owned. So, look, not available in a lot of leagues, but that sort of surprises me, that number. I think he's got serious value.
Yeah, he does, Liam. He just came back from that that week-to-week, which actually turned out to be day-to-day. I don't know why they came out with that statement, but
yeah,
he's come back and he's put up some really solid numbers, Liam. He's been averaging a block per these three games, but also a near double-double as well. So if you can do that, Liam, consistently for the rest of the year, this guy should definitely be owned in categories and definitely ESPN points.
His field goal percentage is just ridiculous, really. I mean, that's the play. I think it's field goal percentage, rebounds, and blocks. If you're targeting those categories, he's a must-have if he's on your waiver wire. I'd definitely be picking him up. I mean, I think he's inside the top 80 at the moment in fantasy. And honestly, I think that'll continue. I mean, there's no chance that he's going to slow down in terms of, you know, Memphis taking the reins away from him. I wouldn't be surprised if we even see a slight uptick as the season goes on. So I think jump on if he's available in your league. The other one is Norman Powell, who I like. He's 46% owned. I mean, geez, had a good game today, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a very good game, Liam, and it was well-rounded as well. The fact that he, you know, he scored the 26 points along with the four steals as well, it's pretty damn good. And I think, look his form could be attributed to Van Vliet being out as of recent. I think he's filling that void quite nicely, but even so, I can still predict him putting up some good steal numbers for the rest of the year, but he should definitely be owned right now.
I agree. I think he's a short-term own. I mean, as you said, benefited recently from Fred VanVleet being out of the lineup, but previously to that, it was Kyle Lowry. So he's really been good over the last month or so while those two Toronto point guards have been out of the lineup. I think once VanVleet returns, and again we see that backcourt of Lowry and VanVleet, look, Powell will probably drop off a little bit, but while he's still on your wire and VanVleet's injured, I mean, if you're the sort of team that is willing to stream week to week, I think Powell should be a guy that you really target at the top of your list. Is there anyone else who stands out to you on the waiver wire?
Yeah, there's one guy, Liam, Caris LeVert. He's coming back this week, you'd suggest, because he's on that road trip with the Nets right now, so he'd be back at some point. And, well, you know, we've spoken about LeVert's value pretty much all season, Liam, in terms of the numbers that he was putting up. Only played the 9 games this year. He had the 17 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, so he's pretty well-rounded, and I think he's got the ability to explode, Liam.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, a guy that should be owned at this point, that new news coming out today that he will be traveling with the team on the upcoming road trip. You know, he'll be back soon. So I think his ownership is going to rise significantly in the next day or so. So I'd be jumping on him as soon as possible, ASAP, on Caris LeVert. All right, that's all we've got for today, Jared. Thanks for joining us once again. We are the GM's Office, and we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you want to follow us there, catch you next time.